بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقربوا الزنا انه كان فاحشه وساء سبيلا صدق الله العظيم respected brothers and elders with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will discuss inshallah today a topic that we have discussed previously and we have been hearing from many ulama and mashayikh, especially the mashayikh who had come from abroad, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, who had emphasized the aspect of safeguarding of the eyes and the private parts. But this is a discourse that was given by Hazrat Mufti Khanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi Damat Barakatuhum, Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib, who is the most senior mufti in, one of the most senior muftis in India. He is an ustad and also the sheikh of many of our asatiza. And he had been several times in the year he comes here, he had been in this masjid as well. A very great person, very learned, very pious, and he is the khalifa of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. So in one of the discourses that he had given was on this topic of safeguarding of the eyes and the private parts. Inshallah, we'll commence today and continue next week, inshallah. Hazrat had, after mentioning the khutbah, he says, Allama Nawawi Rahmatullahi Alayh has coined a chapter in his famous work, Riyadu Salihin, is a hadith kitab, and there are various chapters there. One of the chapters, or one of the topics that he has brought in that kitab, Riyadu Salihin, is the prohibition of casting one's gaze on a strange woman without any valid shari'i reason, and the prohibition regarding looking at young boys who do not have any facial hairs on their faces as yet. He begins his whole talk with the point on the fact that which we heard, have heard many times, one is bringing the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing good deeds like namaz, salat, zakat, hajj. And the other part is abstaining from all type of disobedience and transgression. So he says to abstain from the causes and means that lead to sin and transgression is also necessary. So one is the actual sin that a person commits, but even the roads that lead to the sin, one has to abstain from those roads and those means as well. Just as Islam has emphasized and encouraged the imbibing of righteous qualities and adorning oneself with acts of distinction. In the same vein, Islam has also very strongly reiterated the need to abstaining and saving oneself from evil and devious traits and acts of transgression. So Islam has in this light prohibited lewdness, iniquity, shamelessness, and any form of promiscuous behavior, premarital sex, zina, fornication, adultery. Hazrat has given an example, he says, to understand this, what we term in Shariat is Saddi Dharai. Saddun means to close, to prevent, to block. Dharai means all those roads and avenues and means and instruments that lead to a particular sin. So he says there's a distinction of in Islam that it promulgates the doctrine of Saddi Dharai, that is all those roads and avenues and means and instruments that lead to the perpetration of evil. It curtails and signals the alarm and renders all such actions impermissible as well, thereby eradicating the very roots from which evil may protrude his ugly head. For example, in the instance where Islam has rendered drinking of liquor as impermissible, it not only declared drinking liquor as haram, but all those actions that lead to the consumption of liquor are also prohibited in Islam. So we find there's a list of actions. Islam has declared the making of liquor haram, selling of liquor is haram, transporting of the liquor is haram, purchasing the liquor on behalf of someone else is also haram, to presenting the liquor in the presence of another. All these actions that may be classified as means and instruments that may lead towards the actual perpetration of the prohibition are also rendered as haram. So in a similar way, Allah Ta'ala has said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Zina is haram. But Allah said, don't even go close to zina. All those roads that will lead a person to zina, all those roads are also impermissible. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, he says, in India, one will observe, and even in our country, he says, there's a national campaign and awareness drive, when it's launched by the government, on any particular matter, such as creating awareness regarding malaria. That is not limited only to those having been affected by malaria, so that they may be treated, but the attention of the entire nation is drawn towards the causes of malaria, and how one may become infected, and all those strategies that may be employed in protecting oneself from this scourge. So he says it will be an impressive campaign. It's launched all over, huge billboards around every city, displaying this message all about malaria, the scourge of malaria. And he says you even get images of mosquitoes carrying the infection. The breeding places where they thrive most, stagnant water left in a dark corner of one's house could also become a breeding spot for mosquitoes to thrive. He says in a similar vein, in Shariat also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has rendered something haram, we find Shariat will show us all those places where these type of evil acts are perpetrated, where it thrives, and all the ways and means of preventing oneself from that type of epidemic. He says, zina is a destructive disease and a very dangerous sin concerning which the Quran Pak has mentioned, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Don't even come close to zina. Any attempt to even approach the act of zina has been prohibited. We observe that where zina has been prohibited, all roads and avenues leading to zina have also been rendered as haram. Accordingly, the intermingling of sexes and for women to just leave their homes without parda have all been prohibited. The Sharia has even gone to this extent for the woman to wear any such jewelry that will make a noise that has also been prohibited. That is something for us to bear in mind. And inshallah, our mother and sister listening over the receiver as well, that any such jewelry that will make a noise, that is also been prohibited for them to wear when they're leaving their homes. Inside the whole house is something else. We're talking about when they're going out. The reason for this being that if a woman happens to pass by somewhere and the tingling sound of her jewels falls upon the ears of some stranger, then this can also be a means of igniting the lust and passion within someone. Similarly, he says, applying perfume and leaving the home, you're talking about woman, has also been prohibited. It comes in a hadith that a woman who applies perfume and leaves her home and passes by men, she is such and such, implying that she is an adulterer. Very, very important hadith. I'll repeat this hadith. This hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, in the second volume. It comes in the hadith that a woman who applies perfume and leaves her home, passes by men, the hadith says she is such and such, implying that she is like an adulterer. In one hadith it is mentioned, another hadith, Mufti Sahib hasn't mentioned this, but when this woman who adorns herself and applies perfume, and she comes out, she emerges from her home, then Shaitan also begins to throw his glances at her. So often, so common, even women in hijab and parda, but because they're going to some function, some dawat, then they begin to apply all these perfumes. Any person who goes past will immediately smell this. Now let us bear this hadith in mind. Let us not fool the ummah. We are supposed to be dressed in hijab, then let us apply the laws of hijab correctly. In a similar vein, men have been instructed that if it is out of necessity, they happen to have any dealings or transactions with a strange female, then this should also be conducted behind some wall, behind some screen. In other words, you have to have some type of parda, and if there is no barrier there, then a man should lower his gaze. Therefore, one should abstain from looking at any strange woman. Lower one's gaze and protects one's eyes and private parts from any such unlawful indulgence. All these things are part of the fundamental teachings of Islam. We find in the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you recall, and presently we are even discussing it, on Thursdays we have a program for the ladies, tafsir and seerah. And the same incident had just come recently, when Rasulullah had sent letters to the different kings, inviting them toward Islam. Then one letter was sent to the Caesar of Rome, inviting him to Islam. It's a very long story. When Abu Sufyan coincidentally happened to be there, and at that moment he was not a Muslim, so this king asked him several questions about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he is preaching, etc. So he had mentioned, Abu Sufyan mentioned, that he calls upon us to worship one Allah. And we should not worship anybody beside Allah. We should not ascribe any partners to Allah. And then he further extols us to imbibe the following four acts. Now imagine, the king is asking him, what are the fundamental teachings of this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who claims to be a messenger, a prophet? So what are his basic teachings? So the first thing he explained is Tawheed, and we should not ascribe any partners to Allah. And after that he says, he tells us to perform salat and to maintain honesty in all our matters, sidq. And number three, he said, to preserve our chastity and safeguard ourselves from all acts of shamelessness and indecency. And the fourth one is to establish family ties. So these are the basic teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That imagine the king who's been giving da'wat, and when he asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is he preaching? Then this was what Abu Sufyan had mentioned. So from this we can understand the importance of safeguarding our private parts, safeguarding our chastity. We learnt from Surah Yusuf the importance of saving oneself from fornication, from adultery, from lewdness, from shamelessness. The entire story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala had shown the chastity of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and what sawab Allah Ta'ala gave him, what honor, what respect, what dignity. In the hadith it is mentioned, Rasulullah said, "Iffu, ta'iffu nisa'ukum." Something very, very important for us to understand. There is great importance given towards the lesson of chastity and modesty by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is, adopt the quality of chastity. The men are being addressed. Iffu, adopt the quality of chastity. What will be the result? Ta'iffu nisa'ukum. Your wives will also remain chaste and pure. If the husband is chaste and pure, inshallah the effect will be that the wife will also be untouched, she'll be chaste and she'll be pure. And then the hadith continues that person should show compassion and kindness towards his parents, then the result will be that your children will show compassion towards you. So if we want something for ourselves, we want our woman to be chaste and pure for us, then we have to also adopt this type of chastity. And then we find various incidents. As the Mufti Sahab says, a very close friend of ours related a story of an unmarried person who was a qualified alim. Allah Ta'ala save us from our weaknesses, our shortcoming deficiencies, from sin and ma'asiyat. But the person is a qualified alim. He was not married, rendering some service, dini service in a particular town. His gaze fell upon a particular girl there, and he became infatuated with her. Ultimately, this led to an adulterous relationship, continued over a period of time. He says, we came to a point where it became the discussion of the people of the town, the elders of the town reflected, and they made mashura and they said, okay, this man is unmarried, so we want to avoid any embarrassing situation. So rather we get him married so that he may save himself from sin. So they did not immediately take him to task on the spur of the moment. They granted him grace to honorably deal with the matter. This was their wisdom. They let him get married and save himself from all the embarrassment that was happening. And inshallah, then he'll live a chaste and pure life. So they find, they identify a certain beautiful girl in the town, and they consider this as a perfect match, and this alim is married to this woman. Mufti Sahib says that this person who related the story to him says, however, rather unfortunately, his modus operandi was by now a permanent one. It already became habitual in his adulterous nature. Like it is said, he who becomes habitual with food from the bazaar, he does not get any enjoyment from the food prepared at home. Now from this we can understand. Person all the time eating out, he is not going to enjoy the dal roti at home. So he had become accustomed to this. He says now, the new bride comes home, but this person is still involved in illicit relationships. And all the time, it is mentioned, he would not be bothered about his new bride in his home due to the addiction of his and continued with his old habit, and he remained latched upon his old flame. When the people of the town noticed that despite getting him married, there was still no change, they finally dismissed him. His condition was such that he would regularly beat up his wife. Allah protect us. What is ilm? Having knowledge. But beyond that is the amal. Practicing upon that ilm. Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah should always mention, and this is for people like ourselves who are students of deen. One is ma'lumat, having knowledge. There's no end to having knowledge. Ilm ki koi manzil nahi. Person can learn and learn and learn and there's no end to it. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will question the ulama, ماذا عملت بما علمت? How much did you practice with the knowledge that you were given? Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you the opportunity of learning ilm. How much amal did you do? May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah give us his khashiyat. So this person said, it is mentioned he should beat up his wife and throw her out of the house. And these are all genuine facts. Maybe this happened in India, but this happens also in our places. And in the presence of his wife, his wife, he would call his old partner and engage in fornication with her. This continued for a long period of time. He said afterwards, when he was removed from the town, at some later stage in his life, now see how the tables turn. His very wife became involved in an affair with another man, a strange man. And this was when her husband was passing through an advanced stage of weakness in his life. His wife now would regularly beat him up and throw him out of the house and call in her house, her lover, and engage in acts of lewdness with him whilst the husband was watching all this. It was in this condition that his final moments came upon him. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Therefore Rasulullah said, Iffu, O men, you must have chastity. What will be the result? Your woman will also remain chaste. He gives another example. He says this incident is recorded in the Kitab which Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahib Naqshbandi Damat Barakatuh but also mentioned regarding a jeweler who had a very beautiful wife. She was a woman of excellent conduct and amazing beauty as well. Once, when he returned home from his business, he finds his wife sobbing and he asks her, what is the matter? She replies that this servant of ours, for whom we had cared for since he was a child and taken care of, has become such an ungrateful and disrespectful slave that today he became bold enough to hold my hand and passionately embrace it when he came to deliver the vegetables in the house. When the husband heard this, he too began to cry and sob emotionally. The wife inquired, why are you crying? What makes you cry? He replied, this is the retribution, consequence of my own evil deeds. Today a woman had come to the shop to purchase some jewelry. She bought a pair of bangles from me and asked me to put it on for her. When I began putting it on for her, I became attracted to the beauty of her hand. I held it and passionately embraced it. In the process, This is the result thereof. There's two lessons here, or some important lesson. And I've mentioned many times, we have people working for us at home. We have boys working for us at home. Whether he's a gardener, whether he's helping in the kitchen, respected brothers and elders, and our mothers listening over the receiver, this is something very, very, very important. And most people are neglectful. People are not bothered. Those people are not your mahram. They are not your mahram. You have to observe complete parda from those boys working for you. From whichever country he may be coming from. You have young daughters there. They've got no scarves on their head. They may be in the pyjamas. And this boy is busy cleaning those rooms. Tomorrow when it is too late and things like this happen, then you will cry and you will shed tears of blood. It is too late by going to ulama and asking this problem and crying. It's too late. We have aqal, we have sense. Let us not destroy our haya and shame and the haya and modesty of our daughters and sons. We go for umrah. We find all the South African women, not all, astaghfirullah, many of them. We are going to the haram, you can hear them. You know your own people, how they're shouting and bargaining with those people in the jewelry shops there. And busy displaying their hands to those ghair mahram men. They're buying bangles and they're laughing and giggling with all those young men in those jewelry shops. The haram sharif is right in front. But there's no haya whatsoever. Now these are things we should be bearing in mind. What type of face are you going to go in front of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and show them, make salam them? And we have a tasbih in our hand holding and pretending we are very, very pious. Nobody is saying you can't buy on bangles. Go with your husband. If you have to try it on, go on one side. But we're displaying all our hands and fingers and our young daughters are going and those people are casting all those lustful glances at them. Now look at this. From this incident, we take ibrat. That this man is saying, I did something wrong today and this is the result what happened to my wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat. Nobody is perfect. We all are weak. I'm the weakest of all. But now, if you only understand, only realize, and you only get the information and news of what's happening around us, then these are the problems we are suffering today. People are getting married. The marriage is not lasting. Why? The wife finds out that the husband has got somebody else. He's married and he's busy chatting with other women. Whole night he is spending on the internet. What is he watching? Pornographic material. And so many women are involved in that. So this is the scourge of society. Until we don't change our lives, how do we expect Allah Ta'ala to change the condition of the ummah? There was an incident of a youngster and we heard this from Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. He comes to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, grant me permission to commit zina. So as Mufti Sahib says, may our life be sacrificed upon the compassion of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Somebody was to come to us with a similar request, we would beat him up there and then. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drew him closer and asked him the following questions. Okay, tell me, this demand of zina that you are making, would it certainly not be with some woman, of course? He replied in the affirmative. He says, okay, tell me, this demand of zina that you are making, would it certainly not be with some woman, of course? He replied, yes. Nabiya Kareem said, okay, then if somebody was to do the same with your sister, would you agree to this? He said, no. Nabiya said, if somebody had to do this with your mother, would you condone it? He says, no. Nabiya said, if the same is done with your maternal auntie, would you tolerate it? He says, no. Nabiya said, with your paternal aunt? He said, no, I won't allow it. Nabiya Kareem then explained to him, that woman with whom you want to fulfill your desires is inevitably somebody else's daughter or mother or maternal or paternal aunt. The young sahabi then realized, he said, I will not do so. I won't make zina. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam places the Mubarak hands over his chest and he made dua for him, O Allah, remove any dirt that may be in his heart. The sahabi narrating this hadith mentions that we observed that the gaze of this young sahabi would never stray after that. This was the effect of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is mentioned in another hadith
Rasulullah said, abstain from committing the act of zina or else you would be deprived of the enjoyment of intimacy with your wives. La taznu fatadhhab al-ladhdhatu nisa'ikum. A person who indulges in zina is deprived from the pure ecstasy and enjoyment he ought to derive from his own wife. This is a nice story about Kifl. This is not the Nabi Abdul Kifl, this is another person from the Bani Israel. But he was quite notorious for his wrongdoings. And this hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif also. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that I did not hear this incident from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once or twice or thrice or even seven times over, but even more than that, showing how authentic the story is. And he definitely heard it from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a long story. This is a person amongst the Bani Israel known as Kifl. A woman once came to him and she was in sheer desperation as the children were experiencing severe pangs of hunger and they were in the throes of death. She required some money, she wanted some food. So she approaches Kifl, asks him for some assistance. He was wealthy. So he acceded to her request by giving her 70 dinars, gold coins, on condition that she allows him to fulfill his carnal desires with her. She accepted the money, she agreed. Subsequently, he set out one day in claiming his due from her. Hence, as he began approaching her, her body began to tremble. And she became afraid. She began trembling uncontrollably. When this condition persisted, he asked her by saying, I have not done any injustice to you, nor have I subjected you to any form of duress. You had willfully accepted to this arrangement of ours. Why is this happening to you now? She replied by saying, I had never done such an action before in my entire life. Today I have been rendered helpless simply because of the desperation of my children. It is due to this that my body is not prepared for this zina. Saying this, she burst out crying. When this person, Kifl, saw this condition of hers, Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat. Allah gave him tawfiq of tawbah. He began to reflect on his past life. He became extremely remorseful for his actions. Immediately he repented. And he forgave her the 70 dinar that he had given her. It so happened that the same night Kifl passes away. Now in that time in Bani Israel, any person does any evil act, then it will be marked on his door. In the morning everybody will come to know last night this person committed certain misdeed. So this was the system at that time. And people always knew that Kifl was a bad man. So they were not aware of this incident, and they always knew him as a wretched and evil person. However, the next morning after he passed away, it was inscribed in front of his door that Allah Ta'ala had forgiven Kifl. People were left astounded as to how this forgiveness was possible, because he was a transgressor. Little did they know of this incident in his life, which led to his forgiveness. The Mufti Sahib has brought this example and incident to show us that sometimes we are caught up in these type of actions and deeds. Turn to Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala always makes an exit. Allah Ta'ala makes an opening for the person. Allah protects the person. The person had committed zina in his life, now makes sincere tawbah istighfar. And many people will see, I have done terrible things, made zina and I did this and that. But nothing for a person to lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These discourses that we are talking about, don't go close to zina, so that we may be protected from that scourge and epidemic. Person fell into the trap. Wake up, cleanse and purify yourself, make sincere tawbah, istighfar, and now be cautious that you don't fall back into that trap again. There's another story of Sulaiman bin Yasar, rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ghazali has written in Ihya al-Ulum, Sulaiman bin Yasar, rahmatullahi alayhi, was from the Tabi'een. It's a long story, and the story goes like, he was an extremely handsome man. He was living in Medina Munawwara, and he was among the fuqaha of Medina. One occasion during the season of Hajj, he was proceeding with one of his friends to Makkah Mukarramah, made niyat for Hajj, and they camped at a place called Abawa. And as they settled there for a little while, his friend went out to purchase some food from the market. The friend was gone. He's sitting there on a small mountain. And on the top of the mountain was the house of some Bedouin. It so happened, the gaze of that Bedouin woman fell upon him. And she became infatuated with him. And she noticed he's all alone. His colleague had gone somewhere. So she comes down from the mountaintop. And she exposes her face unto him. As a Suleiman bin Yasar rahmatullah, he was overtaken by shock upon her. And these things happen today also. It's not only the man trying to entice woman. Many, many, very many people have, they are such that the woman also begin to entice men. So the Suleiman bin Yasar rahmatullah was overtaken by shock. First he thought that the sudden appearance of this woman, perhaps she's a beggar. So now he started looking for some food or something to give her. Whatever position he had, he's trying to look for something to give her. And she says, no, I've not come out in search of food, but I have come out in search of that which a woman desires from a man, which I want from you. Immediately, he retorted that it is shaitan that has sent her unto him. And he placed his forehead between his knees and he began crying aloud. When she noticed him crying in such a manner, out of fear of becoming exposed, she abandoned her mission and she ran off. So happened the colleague comes back from the market and he sees his friend crying like his eyes are bloodshot, crying profusely. He says, what's the matter? So Suleiman bin Yasar Ahmad, he says, no, nothing. I'm just thinking of my wife and children. I'm missing them. The thought of them has overpowered me. He says, no. This cannot be. Your matter seems to be something else altogether. Tell me the truth. No person cries in this manner upon the thought of the family. Your condition suggests something contrary. So his colleague then continued insisting until Suleiman bin Yasar rahmatullah finally explained what had happened. So when he explained to his friend, the friend who had gone to the market and brought food, he began to cry now. Suleiman bin Yasar rahmatullah says, now tell me what you're crying for. He replied, it is out of gratitude unto Allah Ta'ala. That I was not in your place. Had I been in your place, I would certainly have been trapped. I'm crying out of gratitude unto Allah Ta'ala that He has saved me from such a situation. Then when they reached Makkah Mukarramah after having completed Tawaf, Suleiman bin Yasar rahmatullah was seated between Hajar al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim. He was enshrouded in his shawl. He was very tired. In that condition, he dozed off. And in the dream he sees Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. Handsome young man. As Suleiman bin Yasar rahmatullah asked him as to who he was, he replied that I am Yusuf, the Nabi of Allah. He further inquired as to whether he was Yusuf Siddiq. He says, yes. Suleiman, whereupon Hazrat Suleiman rahmatullah responded by saying, your matter with Zulaikha has indeed been a strange and amazing one. So he began to praise Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu salam in the dream, that how you manage to come out of the clutches of Zulaikha and the entire incident. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the dream then replies to him in the following words. He says, your matter with regard to the lady from Abawa is even more worthy of amazement and surprise. So Allah Ta'ala immediately gives them strength in the dream. Those people who refrain from sin and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them some glad tidings in this dunya. We just mentioned one more incident and we'll terminate tonight. We'll continue next week, inshallah. There's a story of a young lad again. Allama Yafi'i rahmatullah has mentioned the incident of a very wealthy young lad who used to spend most of his time in sin and vice. Once there was a lady whose children were gripped with hunger. Always when a person is hungry, a person is desperate, women have got no, they are widows, they've got children, they can't fend for them. And they're looking out for some assistance. So people take advantage of this situation. So very similar to the incident that we gave just now. She was subjected to abject poverty. And a few days had passed under these circumstances. And they had no clothing, they had no food. So she sees this young person. And she knows that she's very, very wealthy. She goes seeing her in this. Or he sees her. He calls her. And then he promises some assistance on condition that she fulfills his desires. She begins to cry. And she responded by saying that when he had called her, she had assumed that somebody would extend the kindness unto her and help her in a pitiful plight, whereas he looked at her with another intention. She further clarified that she's not a woman, or such a woman, that, and it was not out of sheer desperation that she was, it was just out of sheer desperation that she was forced to leave her home by virtue of not being able to bear the pangs of hunger upon the children. So she said, she made it very clear, I'm not a loose woman. I'm majbur, I had to come out of my home for looking for food for my children. Being affected by her plight, he gave her a sum of money, overtaken by remorse over his previous life of lust and vice, he resorted to tawbah and forgiveness. It was his habit, whenever he would indulge in any sin, he would record it in a little booklet. On that day, when he returned home, he used to always confide in his mother, and he told his mother what had transpired. She expressed her happiness, and sighed that up to that day, whenever she had admonished him over his misdemeanors, he would not pay any heed, but at least today he has made tawbah and istighfar. Hence, when he has done such a noble action on that day, he should also record this in his booklet. He replied by saying the booklet is full. There's no space. No addition can be made. She suggested he should find some space in the margin at least and add this good deed that he has done. She insisted, he obliged. On that night, when he went to sleep, he further reflected upon his life. He seriously regretted. And we find the kitab and kitab al-tawabin and the shedding of tears of those people who repented. Our people made, were sinners, and they made sincere tawbah. When they were genuine, the person cries profusely, uncontrollably. So these were the conditions of the pious people, or people who changed their lives for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So he says, on that night, he began to cry even more, and he seriously repented. He asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and he fell off to sleep. When he awoke in the morning, he found his entire booklet erased and clean, without any recordings therein, except for that last incident in his life, which he inscribed in the margin of the book, and with it was verse number 114 of Surah Hud, written next to it, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, which means, all good actions eradicate evil deeds. So this should give us hope, that a person, we commit so many gunas all the time, do some good deed. And that good deed will remove all those gunas. But we have to be sincere and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very important is to protect our glances and protect our chastity, protect our private parts, both males and females. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us wilayat. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. On Monday coming is a Hifz Khatam program. One of the students of Hafiz Amin Goga will be completing. So the program will commence at 7:30, inshallah, till Isha Salat. Mawlana Harun, inshallah, will be giving the bayan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu.